The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And for our final half hour of the day, I have Terrence Gross here, who is an attorney, founding and managing partner for Gross & Schuster here in Pensacola. Welcome, Terry. You have years of experience here in Pensacola in personal injury law. You've taught in the past. You provide seminars. There's so many things that you do to get the word out to help people like me navigate the law's legal system.
Thank you for that. Yeah, so actually, it's now October, and I was sworn in to the Florida Bar in October of 79, so I'm now celebrating a 46-year anniversary as a lawyer, which is hard to believe, really.
Congratulations. That's a lifetime.
Yeah, and I'm actually putting on a seminar for the local young lawyers coming up in the next couple of weeks very quickly, and so I'd like to share some of my knowledge and mentor people as much as possible. I have my three sons in practice with me, and we have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. And I always come prepared with a topic, usually related to personal injuries. Sometimes I deviate, but we're back to law stuff today. And the topic today is trying to get blood out of a turnip, because I don't think a week goes by that I don't get a call from some poor soul that has been injured due to the negligence of another. Seems to be kind of a open and shut case as far as liability goes and injuries. And yet maybe we have to turn down the case because there is either no coverage or just not enough coverage. And where we see a lot of this, we actually probably do more dog bite cases than any law firm in the Panhandle.
Really?
And one of the biggest problems with dog bites is finding insurance coverage. So you go to somebody's house, you're passing somebody's house or whatever, and the bad dog gets you and rips a big gash in your leg, and you get stitches, and it's painful and infected.
Oh, my goodness.
And just it obviously sounds like a great case, but if the people don't have homeowners, if it's a renter, most renters don't have that type of coverage. Mm-hmm. Most absentee owners don't have that coverage. Then, even if they have homeowners, it's getting to be very popular amongst insurance companies to have what we call as exclusions. They say, we'll cover you for windstorm. We'll cover you for slip and falls. We'll cover you for this. We'll cover you for that. But we will not pay a penny for any type of dog bite or dog injury. And if they don't have that type of coverage, then you're left with suing the person. They say, well, they got a nice house. They have, their house looks like it's $300,000. They got a fairly new car in a driveway, and they got a small boat in a driveway. Why can't you go against them? Well, for homes are homesteaded in Florida, so most people don't own their houses free and clear anyway. Mm-hmm. So really it's the banks. You may have some equity. And even so, it's homesteaded, so you can't take a person's home. It's protected under Florida law. If you own a car, a lot of people either lease those nice new cars or they finance them heavily. They put $2,000 down and have some loan for 4, 5, or 6 years. So they really don't own the car per se. It's really the bank that owns the car. So, you know, and as far as trying to collect, and then if you got a judgment, getting a judgment is not an easy thing. It could take years. It could take tens of thousands of dollars. Now you get the judgment, and the judgment is what? A piece of paper. Mm. I think I've told this story, but it's worth repeating. So about 6 or 8 years ago, I had this rental house in Gulf Breeze, and I had this nice lady that was renting from me, and she paid promptly. We got along fine. She lived there 2 or 3 years. But I just didn't like being a landlord, because every time something was wrong with the toilet, I had to get, you know, get somebody over there and whatever, and the septic tank and this and that. And I didn't have a management company. I've always rented myself. So I just wasn't really into it. So I decided I'm just going to sell the house. So I thought I'd be a nice guy. And about, I think, you know, the lease was due up, you know, December 31st. So around October-ish, I call her and say, listen, you know, I'm going to sell the house. So when your lease ends on December 31st, I'm not going to renew you. Mm-hmm. But it's my home. I said, I understand. I'm sorry, but I want to sell the house. I really don't want to own the house anymore. And anyway, she abruptly quit paying my rent. So she'd always paid, and she didn't pay November. She didn't pay December.
Oh, my goodness.
So, she, you know, I think the rent at that time was, I was charging, I think, $1,200 a month or something. So she didn't pay $1,200 one month and $1,200 the next, so $2,400. And I tried to call her, write her, and she ghosted me, whatever. And then she finally moved out and kind of left the house a mess. And then I had to, you know, pay to get it cleaned up. So she's blown me off. So I said, well, what the heck? I'm a lawyer. So I sue her in small claims in Santa Rosa County. So we go to court, and she'd always been kind of, you know, the type of person when I'd see her, nice lady, but, mm-hmm. you know, dressed down, kind of like a hippie, torn jeans or, you know, whatever. She, you know, I just never saw her.
She was casual.
Yeah, very casual person. But we go to court, and she's dressed to the nines. So she comes to court, and I was surprised to even see her because a lot of people don't even show up for these court cases. So she shows up, and then the judge calls the case. We approach the bench. It's kind of like People's Court on TV. So we approach the bench, and we have a female judge. And she goes, ma'am, are you contesting the fact Mr. Gross has sued you for 2 months' rent plus cleanup? He's suing you for, you know, $2,600. Are you saying you do not owe Mr. Gross this money? She goes, no, I owe it. And she goes, well, do you want to work out a payment plan with Mr. Gross? We could go to a mediator here, and he'll help you work out a payment plan. No, I'm not going to pay it. And the judge was like,
wow.
No. I mean, you can see the surprise of the judge. So you've admitted you owe it, but you're not going to pay it back. That's, yep, I'm not going to pay it.
Wow.
So the judge says, okay, I'm going to enter an order for Mr. Gross that you owe it. Here's the judgment. And I got the nice judgment certified. Give her a copy. I get a copy. She owes me $2,600. And I've never seen a dime today because this, I mean, if she's a renter, think about this. If she's a renter, she's got no assets.
I mean,
if she had assets, she wouldn't be renting.
Correct.
So she was a turnip. And she kind of knew, maybe she talked to a lawyer or common sense. She just knew she was untouchable.
Mm.
And so she didn't care if I got a judgment against her or not. And
how
so
frustrating
I still,
for you, gosh.
Not really. I mean, I'm a lawyer. I mean, I wouldn't call it frustrating, but anyway, it surprised the judge and kind of surprised me because I thought just the intimidation going to court.
Absolutely.
You know,
I would be intimidated for sure.
And she was not. She was not at all. So anyway, so that was that case. But and I've had other cases. I've had cases. Sometimes you get these cases where you got these drunken drivers. They cause car wrecks. They have no insurance, of course. And then you go against your own insurance company, your uninsured motorist. But a lot of times I bring the drunk in anyway, just why not, right?
Right.
If I have to sue the uninsured motorist carrier, I might as well sue the defendant that caused all this. And you'll go to court, and sometimes these guys show, sometimes they don't. But I remember one time, so we go into court, actually, it was a fellow radio show host. I'm representing my MC type, the person in your same position that I used to do a radio show with.
Uh-huh.
And he had a really bad car wreck with a brain injury, really. And he had plenty of insurance himself, but I sued the drunk. And I didn't know if I subpoenaed the drunk for trial, but, you know, most of these drunks, they don't care, you know. But he shows up.
Hmm.
So I get him on the stand. And the guy, you can tell he's annoyed that I've brought him to court. He's so annoyed that we're wasting his time because we brought him to court. And, you know, so I'm asking all these questions about drinking. Yeah, I was drinking. You were convicted of DUI. Yeah, I was convicted of DUI. And you hit this guy head on. Yeah, I hit him head on. And just whatever it was, but just kind of barking at me, just a complete horse's patootie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did it more just to get the jury mad. But I really wasn't trying to get money from this guy because I knew I wasn't going to get a dime.
Right.
But I thought with this guy's attitude, my guy's injuries, maybe that would be like throwing gas on a fire when it came to monetary damages. So at the closing arguments, you know, I'm certainly going after the uninsured motorist. That's where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about the guy's pain and suffering, his medical bills and all that kind of stuff. But since I sued the drunk, I had to address what's called punitive damages. Now, punitive damages are to punish the drunk.
Right.
So I figured, you know, he's there. The jury's waiting because I said, I think you should give me so much for pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You should give me so much for lost wages and so much for this and so much for that. Well, I had to address the punitive damages. So the jury's really attentive. They're looking at me like you're looking at me now.
I'm fascinated by all of this. So.
And I finally, I know I had to come up with a number.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can get paid, but I didn't want a big number because it was just a placebo. I knew it was just going to be a piece of paper against some drunk that doesn't have anything. So I look at him. And I say, I think you should award us $3,000 against this drunk. And you should have seen their eyes. They go, whoa. Well, at the end of the verdict, they gave me $300,000 against the drunk, which was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of paper.
Right.
And I got my other damages, you know, from the UM carrier. But the uninsured motorist carrier is not responsible for punitive damages under Florida law, only the drunk.
Gotcha.
So I can get compensatory damages, which are, you know, pain and suffering and mental anguish and medical bills, but you can't get punitive. So I almost outthought myself because that jury probably, they probably gave you, you know, all this money. And,
right.
And I could have gotten shortchanged. I really could have shot myself in the foot by bringing that drunk in the room. But at the time, it seemed like a brilliant idea. So anyway, but again, so getting these pieces of paper against them.
Did you ever see the money
from that
case? You just
can't get blood. And now let's look at one of the most infamous cases out there. What is one of the most infamous cases that we all know? Most of us don't know the names of legal cases, but there's one you know.
Oh,
and it's not even a Florida case. It's not a Florida case. And you know this case so well. We all know this case. And it's Ron Goldman versus O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yes.
So we got a $22 million verdict against a multimillionaire.
Yes.
O.J. was living in a mansion in South Florida at the time, playing golf every day, had all that money from the Hertz commercials, all that money from the NFL, and they never could touch him because you can't touch his house, so he probably put all his money. He's probably well advised.
I've always wondered about that because I thought, I don't understand how, but with someone as rich as he is, with as many assets as he
had. But it was protected. It's protected.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
If it's in an IRA, if it's in your homestead, if it's in joint names, or whatever he did, however he structured it, or trust, or whatever he did, he probably had some lawyer, you know, that set him up and made him judgment proof.
Interesting.
And even the way I conduct business. So, for instance, getting to our cars, and I've always told people this. Under Florida law, the owner of a vehicle is liable for the damage it causes. The owner of a vehicle is liable. I loan you my vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You say, Terry, you got an extra vehicle. My car's in the shop. Can I just borrow your car for a day? Sure. So you borrow my car, and you're busy putting your makeup on driving, and you run a stop sign, and you cause this horrible car wreck and injure people. You're at fault. I did nothing wrong. All I did was loan you my car. But as far as Florida law says, I'm liable first. So even if you've got your own insurance and you're the negligent driver, the owner's insurance comes first under Florida law. It's known as the dangerous instrumentality doctrine. But because of that law, what I've always done, and I urge you people to do, anybody out there that's listening, is if the husband has a car that he normally drives, it should be titled only in his name. Never, ever, ever put it in joint names. And if the wife has her car that she normally drives, it should be in her name. So if the wife is out there driving her own car and she causes mayhem, she kills somebody or horrible case, the husband did nothing wrong, and any judgment against the wife can't impair joint assets. So if you own a waterfront lot, free and clear by husband and wife, you can't get to that asset because it's protected under joint tenancy.
That's a great tip. But
a lot of people make the mistake of putting in both names for whatever reasons, then that means if the wife has a jointly owned vehicle and causes that wreck, then they're both going to be defendants, and the judgment would be good against both of them. So just little examples. So I've insulated myself. You know, some people, the obvious thing that a lot of rich people do is they have LLCs, you know. And even companies have, you know, if it's an LLC, then it's against the company's assets and you can't go against them personally. That's why people go to the time and expense. So if they have a few rental properties, you'll see it Terry's Rentals, Terry's Rentals LLC. Well, even though everybody knows Terrence Gross owns it, well, not really. It's my corporation. Maybe the only corporate assets are these rentals, and you can't go against anything else that would be, you know, towards my wealth. So that kind of thing. But anyway, so they never got a penny from O.J. Simpson. But I will give you one exception to the rule. There is one exception out there where you can get blood from a turnip.
Okay, and I can't wait to hear this.
and it's convoluted. It makes no sense, and it's been on the books my entire career. I became a lawyer, as we just already said, 46 years ago. It's been on the books way before I became a lawyer. But there's also something in Florida known as the Financial Responsibility Act. And what it says in that act, it says if you have a car wreck, and you create property damage, and that property damage goes unpaid, that the person that has the injured property can sue you, get a judgment, record it with the motor vehicles in Tallahassee, and they suspend your license for how long? How long do they take away your license for that property damage?
I don't know.
How about forever? Until you pay the claim. So I've actually had these drunks, and I have sued them also for the property end of things. And they blow you off. You know, they don't care. And all of a sudden, they get caught 3 years later driving on a suspended license. Well, driving on a suspended license is not a traffic ticket. It is a crime in Florida. It's a criminal moving violation like DUI. Mm-hmm. It's a crime.
Right.
And most judges, I can't speak for them, but I would tell you 99% of all judges usually say the same thing. You go to court and you've been charged with driving a suspended license. The judge will say, well, here's what I'm going to allow you. I'm going to give you 30 days to come back to court. I'm going to give you a chance for a 30-day window. If you can come back to court in 30 days and show me a valid driver's license, I'll just fine you and won't give you any jail time. However, you come back in 30 days and you don't have a driver's license, you're going to jail for at least 30 days or more, depending whatever your driving record is. And that's pretty common.
Wow.
So the only way to get your driver's license back and not go to jail is to pay that money that you owed. So if you caused $2,000 of damage and got the judgment for $2,000 5 years ago, it's 8% interest on that. So now it's up to close to $3,000 because it's compounded probably. And then you got to, so I've had these people out of the blue call, oh, and I'm looking, what's that name? And I can't even remember. We had to go on the computer. Oh, I sued this guy 6 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
All of a sudden I call my client, hey, guess what? This guy wants to pay you your property damage finally.
And
it just, it's like, just comes out of manna from heaven, really. But yeah, so it's the one thing that, but it's kind of weird to me. It's always been weird. So I can kill you in a car wreck, kill you, and they can't suspend my license for financial responsibility. But if I cause $1,000 damage in that accident to your car and don't pay it, you can suspend my license for the dent to your vehicle. But not if I kill you or put you in surgery or so they don't really put much weight on bodily injury. It's all about property damage, and it's just an antiquated law that it's still there. I mean, it's been unchanged, and I guess, you know, it's like some of these older laws. It's not on any representative's, you know, top 10 things they want to do. Radar. It's not on the radar. So it just sort of sits on the books and it's still there. But so I've told some of my clients every now and then they're owed, what happens is the person does have property damage. Let's say they got 10,000 property, which is very common, right?
Right.
But back in the day, I could buy a brand new car for 10,000.
That's right. Not anymore.
it's not even a phenomenal car. I mean, you paid 40 or 50 for, a new car, but it's not a Rolls Royce or a Cadillac or a Lexus or something. It's just, ordinary car and it's 40, 50,000. So if you bang it up pretty good, you could easily exceed that 10,000 and so forth. So they, under the Financial Responsibility Act, they could actually get that judgment and then just wait. Because you're going to drive.
Right.
And eventually you're going to get stopped. Mm-hmm. And once they do the computer check with no license, you can't have a license.
I find all of this fascinating. I don't know how you keep up with all of it.
Well, I live and breathe it.
46 years of law on the books.
It's what I do. It's what I do for a living. But anyway, the whole point I was trying to make about it, but other than that one exception, you just can't get blood out of a turnip. And so many people get frustrated. You're the third lawyer I talked to. They won't take my case. Well, maybe there's a common denominator. I mean, one third of nothing is nothing. Mm-hmm. So why would I take a case where there's no insurance and you're trying to get money from a person? It's just easier said than done. Not impossible, but if you think about it, the people that are really, really wealthy, they got insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people are millionaires driving around with a 10,000 limit bodily injury thing? I don't think that's the norm. So most people with money have umbrellas and all that. But it looks like we're running out of time.
Well, not quite. We just brought umbrellas, and I did have a text that just came in. Can you talk about umbrella policies in the couple minutes we have left?
Umbrella policies actually are pretty cheap. I mean, the first requirement, it depends on the company. Most of them want you to have at least $250,000 of liability underneath or $300,000 before you could buy an umbrella. But if you bought $1 million umbrella, you'll find out it's surprisingly cheap because the odds of you causing $1 million damage is remote. So they sell it at a discount. So I got umbrellas everywhere. I'm surrounded by umbrellas for slip falls, my property, car insurance, whatever. I wish the call came in sooner, but I can see we're running out of time. This is Terrence Gross. If you wish to call me at 850-434-3333. And if you wish to know more about this, go to our website. We talk about all these things on my website, grossandschuster.com. We're at the corner of Palafox and Savannah's, downtown Pensacola. Come see us. I'll be back in the next couple of weeks.
We've been talking with Terrence Gross with Gross and Schuster. And if you wouldn't mind giving that website one more time.
That would be grossandschuster.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Terry. Appreciate all that you do for us and for the community. And we will see you next time.